Welcome to the Sadler Lectures podcast. Responding to popular demand, I'm converting my philosophy videos into sound files you can listen to anywhere you can take an MP3. If you like what you hear and want to support my work, go to patreon.com/sadler. I hope you enjoy this lecture. One of the very first sets of things that René Descartes set himself to doubting methodologically at the very beginning of his Meditations was what he's received through the senses. So he pointed out that we're often deceived by our senses. You know, we stick a stick in the water and it looks like it's bent, even though we know that it's not bent, or you know, perhaps geometry can demonstrate, or that physics can help us out in understanding that it's not really bent, so that our senses are giving us incorrect information. He also goes further than that and says, not only can the individual things that we're sensing be wrong or doubtful, and we're going to treat them as false, we're going to also reject there being an external world and even a body that I have. We're going to imagine that perhaps we're deceived in thinking that we actually have head, hands, feet, all these other parts of our body, or that there's any other things in a universe. Maybe there's no universe at all. Maybe we're just disembodied minds in some sort of medium, and we have these sensations that we think are true in some way, but they're really not even false. They don't refer to anything, right? They're just ideas in our mind. Now, in Meditation 6, Descartes is going to say, no, we get the body back, we get the external world back. How does that happen? It happens by thinking about the nature of two faculties in particular, which refer to and involve us with an external world, and do so through the medium of a body, an extended substance. And those are imagination and sensation, or sensibility, the faculty of sensing, sentir in French. And that includes what we typically think of as the five senses, as well as internal perceptions that we have within our own body, and also what Descartes is going to call the passions of the soul, which have their correlates within the body, most specifically within the brain. So there's a lot to talk about with respect to this, but one thing to keep in mind is that in the Cartesian metaphysics, we call it Cartesian dualism because he divides the world up, putting God out of the picture, into thinking substances, minds, and extended substances or corporeal substances, bodies. And he says that with human beings, what we really are is mostly our mind, but we can consider ourselves as well to be a sort of composite of body and mind, united in a way that he doesn't explain here in the Meditations, and really never satisfactorily does provide an explanation of, even in his other works. Be that as it may, he does say, listen, we can certainly assert that we do have a unity, a connection between the body and the mind. And so what we have in the Cartesian account is extended things, things outside of ourselves in the sense of being outside of our body, impinging upon our sense organs, and thereby producing sensations. And these have what Descartes calls formal reality, that is, reality outside of our mind as things that exist. So, you know, the sight that we have, if we want to use our contemporary explanation of how optics work, we have these rods and cones in our eyes, and they're perceiving things and sending signals to the nerves, which then goes, you know, into the brain, and there's a whole complicated story there, right? And it has to do with the perception through the lens of the eyeball of the things that are outside of ourselves. And, of course, we don't necessarily take in all of what can be seen. As a matter of fact, you know, our eyesight is not as sharp as that of the hawk. We're not, you know, seeing certain colors that butterflies are seeing or other insects are seeing. But put that aside, right? Same basic idea, no matter what. There's things to be sensed. There's organs that sense them. And then we have in our minds representations of what is being sensed. That has, as Descartes will say, objective reality, the kind of reality that things in our mind possess, ideas in our mind. But the ideas are, in a certain way, replicas or copies or however you want to figure it. They're connected in some way to what it is that we're sensing outside. And he tells us, I've accustomed myself to imagining many other things outside of that nature, that corporeal nature, which is the object of geometry, having to do with figure, position, all the things that we can quantify. What are these things? Colors, sounds, flavors. A little bit later, he'll talk about odors, these things that we really take for granted, but don't necessarily exist in the thing as such if we consider it just in terms of bodies, but it's produced by the interaction of our extended bodies over here with our sense organs, and then we get these ideas in our mind of things like the smell of paper, right? Or the touch, the feel of the roughness, in this case, of the paper, or the sound that pages make as we go through that, or the many different colors involved in this quite beaten-up copy of Descartes' Méditation Métaphysique, right? The French and Latin version that I have here in my hand, stained by having coffee set on it and by, I think, a lot of wear and tear on the paper. The original red, actually scarlet and black ink is a little bit faded. All of these are things that we are sensing, right? You're sensing it as you look at it right now. So those are things that our senses are taking in, and we remember them, we imagine them, and we also sort of passively receive them. And he says that so much as I perceive much more of these sort of things by the senses, by the intermediary of memory, and they seem to have come to my imagination, I believe that in order to examine them with greater commodity or at my leisure, it is good that I examine at the same time what it is to sense, what it is to have this faculty of sensation. And I see that these ideas that I receive in my mind by this fashion, this mode of thinking that I call sensation, from this I can actually derive a certain proof of the existence of corporeal things. How so? Well, Descartes is going to say, if there weren't things outside of ourselves, why the hell would we have sensation? It makes reference to things being other than us, other than what's in our mind. The faculties of sensation and imagination can be stripped away from us in a certain way by intellection, and they're not as essential as intellection or volition or things like that to our existence as thinking things. As a matter of fact, they really only make sense if there's some sort of body that they're involved with. So, he goes on and he says, I remark that I have all of these sorts of experiences of hardness, heat, all the things that touch allows me. Even more than that, I remark light, colors, odors, flavors, and sounds, the variety of which gives me a means of distinguishing the heavens or the sky, the earth, the sea, and in general, all the other bodies from each other. Now, does this provide us with a reason at this point to think that we can be absolutely certain that there's an external world with all of these bodies and that I have a body? Early on, he says, this gives me a probability. A little bit later on, he's going to say, no, I actually can be certain of this. Why? Well, part of it lies in the fact that he says that these sensations that we're having are actually quite clear and distinct. And isn't that a funny thing to say? Because a little bit later, he'll also point out that maybe they're not as clear and distinct as we think. But let's expand this a little bit as well. So we've got the whole panoply. He says that I believe that I have a body, and I have a certain reason for calling it mine, which belongs to me more properly and more narrowly than any other. Why? Because through it, he says, je n'en pouvais jamais, I can never be separated from it as I can with other bodies. And I feel in it and for it all the appetites and all the affections, all of my appetites and affections. And finally, I'm touched, or I feel sentiments of pleasure and pain in its parts. Because of that, I also have things like hunger and thirst and even passions that are created by these experiences of pain and pleasure, like joy, sadness, anger, and the other passions of the soul. Those also extend into the human mind. But then he says, you know, I've got to be careful here. I do remember that the senses have deceived me. There's all sorts of ways in which I could go wrong with them. So should I really trust them, you know, all the way? Can I be certain about this? He says, well, yes, I can. Why? Because God is not a deceiver, and God has set things up in such a way that I can, in fact, have clear and distinct ideas. Very often, those clear and distinct ideas are going to be on the side of the mind rather than things that I'm sensing. So, for example, you know, great, great classic case of this, I can know that a person is approaching me, or what I think to be a person, and then find out it's actually a robot, or I've been hallucinating, or something like that. But I may not know, even if it is a person, what person it is until they get close to me, and I say, aha, it's Paul, or it's Janice, or it's whoever, right? That's to perceive things clearly and distinctly, and we don't always have that. So he says, this perception of the senses is often obscure and confused when it comes to many different things. But at least I have to admit that all the things that I do conceive clearly and distinctly, that is to say, all the things, generally speaking, that are comprised within the object of speculative geometry, they are actually there. For the other things, which are, you know, particular, like whether the sun is of this size or that figure, those sorts of sensible things, whether they're conceived less clearly and less distinctly, like light and sound and color and all that, it is certain, he says, that they could be quite doubtful and uncertain. But because God is not a deceiver, and there's not going to be this falsity, if I conduct myself properly, if I don't allow the will to outrun the intellect, as we saw in Meditation 4, I can, in fact, know some things about the external world with certainty. So, you know, it could be that some of the things that we perceive through the senses we have to be rather careful with. We can exercise a kind of ascesis when it comes to those. But we can say that there is, in fact, according to Descartes, at this point, a body that is connected with my mind. So narrowly connected that it's, you know, it's closer connected than a pilot in his ship, right? And that body connects us with the rest of the world and gives us this rich external reality, which is also internal, objectively, representationally, within our minds. So we've now got, through sensation, through considering the nature of sensation, the body and the external world back. Not necessarily in every single way that we perceive it, but in general, we've got it back. Special thanks to all of my Patreon supporters for making this podcast possible. You can find me on Twitter at Philosopher70, on YouTube at the Gregory B. Sadler channel, and on Facebook on the Gregory B. Sadler page. Once again, to support my work, go to patreon.com/sadler. Above all, keep studying these great philosophical works.